This is Being Catholic with Bob Johnston on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5.
Hi, this is Bob Johnston, and you're listening to Being Catholic right here on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 in good old McLean County, 92.5 in Bloomington Normal, 88.3 in Pontiac, 97.1 in Lincoln, covering all of central Illinois. And you can get us on our website, CatholicSpiritRadio.com. Again, that's CatholicSpiritRadio.com. Hey, it's really good to be back. I'm here with my wife, Lynn, and we're really grateful to be here broadcasting again. Of course, we missed the last 3 or 4 weeks, and we're sheltering in place. And we are a little bit older and sort of took precautions, but things can't go on this way forever, and you get tired of being inside all of the time. I'll let Lynn speak for herself in a little bit. But anyhow, we're both glad to be back, and we missed you great listeners out there. And it's just a nice thing. And today we're back here. It's on a Saturday. The sun is shining outside. The snow didn't materialize that we were supposed to get. Spring is here, and there are some good things happening. We're going to talk a little bit. Of course, we can't not talk about the coronavirus crisis, and we will talk about that. But again, we're glad to have you back, and I hope you're glad to have us back. And Lynn, would you like to say something about being back and talking to our friends out there in the central Illinois area again?
I sure would. But first of all, he is risen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, that's the Easter greeting. They've been doing just using that phrase since the very beginning of Christianity, since Christ died. Did you ever think about what an awesome thing that was, Christ rising from the dead? You know, it's like Archbishop Sheen says, who before in history has ever had armed guards guarding a tomb where a dead man is, because they're afraid he's going to get up and walk out of that tomb? Never heard of it before. It's no. A wonderment. You know, why would Rome do this?
Can you imagine what it must have been felt like to be a guard standing there saying, what are we doing here? Guarding a dead man. And also, when we talk about rising from the dead, I think we have to translate that into something a little bit more. He wasn't just coming back to life. I mean, technically, you know, scientifically, sometimes people are pronounced dead and then they're really not, and they're sort of brought back to life. But this was a whole transformation, a new, you know,
a metamorphosis.
A new being, a new thing coming into existence, something more like springtime, a whole new renewal.
Exactly.
And so it was more than just rising from the dead.
Right. And can you imagine, well, Mary Magdalene, when he addressed himself to her and she finally realized who this was, what a shock.
Of course it would be a shock, because, you know, this was, you were looking at a whole new person. A lot of the apostles or even, you know, other disciples, the followers of Jesus, did not recognize him at first.
No. There are times when in the 40 days that he remained on earth in his glorified body, there are times when they didn't know who he was. The walk to Emmaus, that's one of the instances.
Right, the road to Emmaus, right.
Yes. It's just something to contemplate. I think I would have been scared to death had one of my parents arose from the dead and came and talked to me. I think I'd die.
Well,
I'd be so shocked.
A lot of people were amazed.
You know, and at the time, too, there were dead people that did arise from their graves, too, when Christ, after he did, and came out within the population there, people saw them. But
That was more like Lazarus, you know.
Yeah, right.
Not the same thing.
But nevertheless,
pretty impressive. Mm-hmm.
But with Jesus, this whole idea that he came back in another form is probably the reason why he told Mary Magdalene, don't hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended, but don't hold on to me. He had changed. I hadn't realized or understood this before. I did call called a communion this week and asked about that, and that was probably the reason why he didn't want her to hold on, because she's holding on to something that would be no more, that he had changed. And then he allowed Thomas to touch him.
Yeah, don't hold on to the old, because right. There's going to be a transformation to the new. The old covenant is being
transformed
into the new covenant, and so trying to hang on to the old is not going to be efficacious at all.
Yes, and Jesus further said to Thomas, don't be faithless, but believe.
Exactly.
And that's the hard thing for a lot of us. But yes, it's a marvelous thing to think that this has happened. And we need to be very thankful. And something to think about, the renewal. Whole new life.
Anyway, how do you feel about being back, Lynn?
This is the first time I've been out of the house in 10 days. It's just kind of amazing, you know, you ride down the street and you look around and think, so this doesn't look any different till you see the empty stores.
That's
and
true.
No cars parked there. I haven't been to the grocery store or anything. Bob does all that. I haven't minded it too much, because there were a couple days when it was sunny and warm. We did go for a ride around the lake.
Yeah, we went on a picnic also up there at Wilmington. That was nice. And some nice rides.
That was amazing, because to me it looked like a national holiday up at the lake. There are people all over the place. They were fishing. They were, you name it, running, walking, biking. They were all over. They had maintained their safe distances, but they were there because the sun was shining. It was warm. It was beautiful.
Yeah, I was amazed to see how many people were out. We were going to take the table there at the point over there on the south side of the lake on that little loop road that goes around there. And when we got there, it was filled up with people. So we couldn't go there. We went over by the water plant. There was a table over there. And then there was another table not too far away from us. And then there was some people fishing right there by the water plant near the road where the road goes by. And we sort of watched them. They weren't doing very well, but it was fun to watch them fish. So, at any rate, it was nice.
We've been compliant. I have mixed feelings about it all. Although the last time I had the flu, I ended up in the hospital, so can't argue.
At any rate, we're going to talk about that. First, we want to talk about things that we're thankful for, and give credit also where credit is due, and things concerning the church and concerning the parishes here in our area. So we'll get into that first. And then there are some questions, I think, that people have on their minds. And we're going to ask some of those questions and address some of those questions a little bit and go from there. So is there anything more you want to say before we start, Lynn?
No.
Okay. So some of the things that we're being thankful for is, of course, we are thankful for Catholic Spirit Radio. We were able to listen, and it was more important to us, I think, in the last 3 or 4 weeks with this lockdown than it has been before, because you start to realize, you know, what it is that you have and how important it is, and it would be one of the greatest lines of communication, entertainment, and meaningful information in our lives. And so it became, I think, a little bit more precious to us, and so if you haven't been listening, tune in, because it'll give you a lot of information and also a lot of entertainment, and at the same time also a lot of consolation, and a lot of the Catholic faith will be brought to you that way, and it's more important than ever. So I do want to remind people out there that the cost still goes on, and there are less people to bear and share that cost. Things are harder to do. In fact, probably more costly now than they were before. So if you can make a donation, go ahead and make a donation to Catholic Spirit Radio. Go to our website, CatholicSpiritRadio.com. Again, that's CatholicSpiritRadio.com. You can make a donation there and, again, find out more information about us. And I think we're more important than ever.
Right. It does make you feel like you're still part of the community.
Yes, it does. That's why I feel so good to be back here and involved in a scheme of things. I didn't realize how much really we would miss it until at first you think, well, this is a little break. And then you begin to realize that it's a connection that we would like to continue to make, and we hope you have a connection with us too.
And it is an essential thing. It's essential to keep your faith and to feed it.
And we're also thankful for EWTN. I think that's, again, something we should all be thankful for. It's something you can watch on television, and you can see the Mass on there every Sunday. And, of course, talking about that, we're very, very thankful for some of the efforts that the clerics have been making in the local churches to try to provide us with whatever they can. They've had confessions, parking lot confessions, confessions out of the car. We've had Masses that were over the Internet. We listened to Mass, to Easter Mass, on Lynn's smartphone. We were able to do that. And
that was an accomplishment.
Yes, it gives you
for us.
Yeah, something local like that gives you a little more sense, at least, of being there than it does, say, watching sort of on EWTN, the Mass that they have down at Birmingham. It's sort of like broadcast to the whole country. This gives you, you know, a picture of
your
own
community.
Local church, mm-hmm. your own community. So that was very innovative, and we're very, very thankful for the efforts made by our clergy in doing those things. And we know that the clergy have been trying to follow the rules of the lockdown and to be compliant and to be careful of health and people's lives. And so we have done some things that we're going to talk about and question a little bit as to the deprivations that we have to go through with this. So, but at any rate, we want to make sure that those people out there know how grateful we are, and I'm sure how grateful a lot of their parishioners and other people in town are for their efforts.
Right.
So, again, because of this, don't forget out there to make your donations to your church. You can do it online. Some of you maybe have been doing that way in the first place. If you're not doing that, be sure to send it in. You know, you've got your envelopes at home. You can send them in. And if you don't have the envelopes, you can also just, send it to your local parish, send your regular Sunday donation. If you don't want to do it, every week, you can bundle it for 2 or 3 weeks at a time and get it in there, because they need your help more than ever before, and they're doing the things that they can do. And it will be greatly appreciated, and probably the costs are higher now than they were before this crisis.
Right.
So, any more do you want to say on that line, Lynn?
No, other than I can't wait till they open the beauty shop and I can get my hair cut.
But so those are some of the things we're being thankful for. Then the creative clergy, in some places, the innovative means of trying to give sacraments, the innovative ways of confession, the Internet, and local effort. And in the greater society, we want to give our thanks for the prayers that have been going on. There are some other benefits that maybe more of us are now prayerful because of the coronavirus and what's happened, and realizing how quickly things can change and how quickly the ordinary and taken for granted can be taken away from you. And you know the old saying is, you don't know what you got until it's gone.
Yeah.
So what are some other things out there generally for our whole society, I think, that are benefits?
I think slowing down.
Okay. They're slowing down of the rat race. There's a less of a of a pace out there, I think. So that's a benefit that we can all take from what's happened.
Younger families can spend more time together.
Exactly. That's a benefit also that we can be grateful for. Another benefit would be some of the homeschooling that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
We've had, our kids are out of the school now and they're staying home. Now, and that can be a hardship for families, but as Lynn said, it can also be a time to, be together and get to know each other and your family more and be more dependent on each other and be more creative in what we do. And it's an opportunity for parents to learn how to do some homeschooling.
Exactly. And I'm kind of looking forward to after everything is lifted and things get back to some type of routine. I won't call it normal, but some type of routine on how many people are going to stick with this homeschooling. Well, I bet the statistics will go up. I know our grandson, who is a teacher and not teaching in the school because of the lockdown, is teaching online. He really likes it.
Yeah, it might be a new thing that will come out of it. And the homeschooling itself. There has been, our education has been skewed way far over, we think, to the secular progressive side. And it's almost an animus toward religion or, the personal belief. And there's been an effort to exclude it entirely and keep it out of the schools. So this whole emphasis on homeschooling, and there's been an opposition to homeschooling in this country, especially by the educational system. And there will be more of an emphasis on people doing it and learning how to do it. And it may be a benefit there as well.
Right.
So at any rate, we'll go ahead and talk a little bit more about some of the other benefits, and then we'll talk about some of the questions, too. There is, again, the closer family life that we need to emphasize.
Time to meditate.
Exactly, awareness of our vulnerability. And we'll come back and talk about some more of these benefits that we can get from this crisis. And we'll also talk about some of the questions the crisis is generating as well. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to Being Catholic with Bob Johnston on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5.
Join Catholic Spirit Radio for our Spring Carathon support drive. We need your support to maintain and grow this ministry. Can you help us grow and spread Orthodox Catholic teachings to Central Illinois? Please pray about supporting Catholic Spirit Radio during our Spring Fund Drive. We need your support now more than ever. For more information or to pledge your support in advance, go to CatholicSpiritRadio.com. Coming to Catholic Spirit Radio.
Join us for Carathon on Catholic Spirit Radio, April 28th through 30th.
While you may enjoy listening to our daily talk programs here on Catholic Spirit Radio, you might also crave some additional prayerful moments. For times like this, you can temporarily switch to the Spirit Radio 89.5 app or go online to CatholicSpiritRadio.com. Choose the listening option called Radio Essentials. Day and night, Radio Essentials will broadcast exclusively the Holy Mass, Rosary, Divine Mercy Chaplets, prayers, and devotionals.
Hi, this is Bob Johnston. We're back from our break. You're listening to Being Catholic right here on Catholic Spirit Radio. And we're talking about right now about some of the things that locally we were thankful for during this crisis and still are thankful for. And we're also going to talk about and have been talking a little bit about some of the greater social things in our, in the entire country that could be a benefit that could come from this crisis, and trying to pick out, the silver lining of some of these dark clouds. And it's important to do that and see what things can be turned into positives rather than negatives. We talked about slowing down the rat race is a good thing. We talked about home schooling that could be a good thing coming out of this, because our educational system has been moving, in our opinion, too far over to the secular and away from the idea of God and family. And there can also, I would guess, Lynn, have a greater, you know, we're not able to celebrate the Mass right now like we were in the past and be there. But there are other things that can give us a greater growth in faith. I think one of them is humility.
Yes, yeah.
To learn that, we're not the be-all and end-all of things.
We are dependent.
In a blink of an eye, the entire world has been changed. That's how fast it can happen. And we can get into, you know, how it happened or, you know, what the factors are. But the fact is that it teaches us once more. I think we've been living sort of in a bubble for quite a while here where everything seems like
we're those rose-colored glasses.
Right, we're invulnerable and all of that kind of thing. And all of a sudden that is changed so we can learn a little bit of humility. Maybe we're suffering some atonement, you know, for our sins. I mean, earthly atonement. In other words, there are things that the Catholic Church teaches that we do have to make atonement in the here and now. You know, temporal atonement for our sins. Of course, you know, only Christ can give us the immortal atonement for our sins. Spiritual or supernatural atonement for our sins. Only, you know, through Christ, but we do have to atone for our earthly things, and this brings it home to us a lot more, I think.
And I think we'll appreciate the Mass and being there in community much more than we have in the past.
Charity is another thing that comes to mind.
Right.
I mean, people are having to help each other a lot more. They're dependent on each other, and I think there are a lot of people that are finding charity within their souls that they never knew was there, and they're, you know, doing a lot of charitable work and a lot of good things for their neighbors. A lot of that is coming out, and those are good things as well.
Right. I think the neighborhoods are blooming again a little bit in the sense that for a long time, we didn't know our neighbors down in back of us. They're a younger couple and stuff. And that one of the nice days we've had, they were all out in their yards and they're, you know, weeding and getting their yards cleaned up for this season coming up. And it was good to keep your distance, but yet get to know them.
Exactly, and they were offering, their help to us, and of course we offered our help to them, saying, you know, if you need help, let us know, and vice versa, and that kind of thing. And I think that's probably going on a lot more in more neighborhoods, and that's a good benefit that's coming out of this as well. I think also the Catholics have something extremely important to offer in this respect is that. The Catholic Church teaches that suffering can actually be, you know, a means to something greater or better, and it can be offered up in that respect. And so there is a lot of suffering going on right now. People out of work and worried about being able to get their job back or being able to meet their monthly bills, and there's a lot of mental stress and so forth. And Catholics do have an explanation for that. That can be offered up, you know.
Yes, how often have you heard that? Offered up?
And be on behalf of other people, on behalf of people in purgatory, on behalf of the world. And it can be transformative, and the Catholic Church teaches that. And that's been something that's, you know, been an arm's length away from us in the kind of culture that we've been developing. This idea that somehow or another, you know, suffering is something totally evil and totally negative and, you know, totally without any merit whatsoever, and that it's something to be disdained and something to be avoided. And now maybe we can see it in a different light, that there is a transformative benefit to it, if you can use the word benefit, but at least a means. That it can be a means to something even greater than before.
That it's right, not, if you feel that it's not useless or there's no reason for this suffering and so forth, it's you just have an empty feeling where when you offer it up and unite it with the suffering of Christ on the cross for the church, for meaning all of us, when you offer it up, makes things, these difficulties, easier to deal with.
Exactly. I think also we have more of an awareness of the last things of life and death anymore. I mean, people are suddenly aware that they are vulnerable. I know, you know, this disease is supposedly, you know, more harmful to older people, but there are younger people also who have had, you know, who have died from this disease. And it brings this much closer that we should be aware of how quickly things can change. I mean, we're not going to live forever, and that death has been brought closer to us, and that it is a part of life, and that it has to be dealt with and not just pushed away. And science can't deal with this. There is another means of dealing with it, and we need to start returning to that and understanding it better. And we're going to talk about some of, you know, the questions we're going to have here. We're going to talk about dealing exactly with that. And is our society standing in the way because it's moved so far away from that? And should we have a huge change because of the crisis?
The awareness that things can change and you may not be here tomorrow is a good lesson to learn.
Exactly.
Because many of the saints who have preceded us have always, you know, kept this in their mind and stressed it. I know the Benedictines do, St. Benedict did. Always keep in mind that this may be your last day. So enjoy what you have. Take the time to be thankful that you have it and enjoy everything that's just surrounding you. Take the time to listen to what's going on, like the water moving and the wind and so forth. There's so much to be thankful for.
And I think that, you know, that so much, we can understand that so much is given. I mean, you know, so much is beyond our control. We have been, you know, all of the things that we take for granted are gifts that we have been given. Life is a gift. The earth is a gift. The things of the earth are a gift. The universe is a gift. All those things are a gift. We didn't create any of those things. And all those things that are beneficial to us are gifts, and they can be taken away. And we're suddenly understanding that, and we don't have a lot of control over that.
In a blink of an eye, things change.
I think our focus is being taken away also from all of these abstract disasters that sometimes are manufactured in our own minds, and sometimes, I believe, manufactured a lot of times for political or other selfish purposes, you know, the climate change and overpopulation, and you can go on and on, the number of disasters that we've been dealing with that haven't really happened. And all of a sudden, in a blink of an eye, something that no one has even been thinking about has happened. So it teaches us a lesson, maybe to try and quit focusing and thinking that we understand and know exactly what the changes, especially the harmful changes in this life, are going to be. We don't. And they can happen and creep up on us in a snap of a finger. There it is. And so I think you need to learn a lesson from that. And we need not spend our time continuously, you know, dueling with windmills and abstractions that haven't done anything to us and may not never do anything to us, and start putting those things in perspective. What do you think, Lynn?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You don't want to be, was it Don Quixote, went around fighting the things that weren't real?
Exactly.
The windmills and so forth. That he was just a poor, frustrated man.
Well, I could argue with that, but at any rate, we won't go into that. But the point is, you're right. That is an example of tilting at windmills is something. There are plenty of real things that can happen that are beyond our control before we run around thinking we can change and control everything, the climate of the earth and all of the rest of the things, because there are very few things like that that we can control. We're not in charge, and I think this crisis is teaching us that.
And I think it's also teaching us to value the things we do, and also the monetary things. Have we been living a materialistic lifestyle for too long? And how has this affected us? It's a very big question.
I think also from the point of view of our religion and our church is that we suddenly realize the need for our priests, and we suddenly realize the need for the sacraments. We suddenly realize the need for end-of-life care and the focus that has to be emphasized on that. I know it has come home to me. I mean, you know, I'm getting older and so is my wife, but still, nevertheless, you feel pretty healthy and you feel pretty good and you know, you think still. You know,
oh, I can jump on that bicycle
right,
sitting there.
The thoughts of death are, you know, still a long ways away. And all of a sudden, this brings it home how fragile you really are. And maybe it does so more when you're older. But nevertheless, I think even for a lot of young people, they have older people to deal with, and so it brings it home to them that is the case. And then that focuses it in on themselves that it could happen to them too. So, and those can be things that we need to deal with and think about, and we haven't been doing so, and this brings it back. So that's a benefit as well, I would guess. Appreciation for what is another thing we can learn, you know, for the small things in life that get taken away.
Right, but that really isn't, I don't know how I want to say this, but it's really a big thing to have that appreciation of life and to learn how to appreciate it. It's no small thing, and we need to cling to that.
I think also an understanding of history. This brings it home better. We can have a better understanding of the past when we read about past plagues that happened in earlier times and disasters that happened in earlier times and even things that happened not so long ago. We read them sort of from an academic point of view or watch them on television from sort of an aloof and academic point of view.
It's kind of sterile.
Yeah, sort of sterile and factual and not really, you know, understanding what it felt like to go through that. What did it feel like to go through the Great Depression? What did it feel like really to be in a dust storm and see those huge looming clouds out in the west and so forth when, you know, the dust took over and people were dusted out of their homes? What did it feel like to be disrupted from your normal routine? We are having a better understanding of that. So when we read the things that happened biblically, or when we read the things that happened historically, or about wars or plagues or other things, we can put ourselves a lot more in other people's shoes than we could before and understand exactly what they went through and how they must have felt. And so this is another benefit from this, is understanding our past better and maybe being able to deal with our future better on account of it. So, Laura, that's a few.
Yeah, that's something I hadn't really thought about, but it does make you appreciate, in that sense, what other people have before us have gone through, and that feeling of loss of control that they had that we're sharing in now.
Exactly, you know, the loss of control. And, I think maybe there's been a superior feeling, too, on the part of modern society, that we look back at this, we really can't stand in the shoes of the various tribulations that have happened to the world, but at the same time, we feel a superiority to these people that somehow or another we've solved these problems, and that the science now has taken over and it will deal with these things. And we don't have to worry about them like the people of the past. We're a little bit smarter, a little bit more sophisticated, not as confused. We don't depend on nature anywhere near as much and so forth.
Well, we're near gods. We can create.
Right. And so we have
this. In the lab. We've created something in the lab. All right.
Exactly. Even if we don't intentionally, you know, have these feelings, I think they're there. They're implicit in our society. We've moved along toward that hey, we can take care of all these things. Science will address them all and so forth. Now we're getting a great comeuppance that that's not the same, and these people in the past are not so far away from us, and we can understand them better and maybe understand ourselves better. So those are some of the things I think that are a benefit. I'm sure a lot of you people out there can think of, you know, even more other things that we missed, and maybe, you know, some more local things. We could probably go on and name a lot of specific incidents that people, you know, the more creativity of the people, the ability to pitch in and help, the feeling of being wanted and useful and needful, the feeling of being separated from other people, and that perhaps this emphasis on overpopulation is not quite what it's cracked up to be, and living in a society with fewer and lesser things is not so good. And that ordinary people who maybe somehow seem just common and, you know, run-of-the-mill suddenly become individualistic, and they're doing things that we never ever thought that they might be doing, and helping in ways that we never ever thought that they might be helpful, and we're having a greater appreciation. So those are some of the things I just wanted to emphasize and Lynn wanted to emphasize. And we're going to come back in the next segment now, and we're going to talk about some of the questions that this crisis generates, and some of the things maybe that are lacking, or some of the things that maybe we're failing to do. And so we want to talk about the other side of the crisis as well, even though we want to give a great emphasis to some of the positive things, and especially the local people and priests in every area, local here and, of course, local in all the rest of the area of our country and the world, how much, you know, they're doing, and we appreciate it. So we'll go into that aspect of it in the next segment. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to Being Catholic with Bob Johnston on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5.
Check your inbox. Be the first to find out what's new at Spirit and what activities are planned for you. Your copy of Catholic Spirit Radio's newsletter should have arrived via email by now. It's called Alive in the Spirit. It comes quarterly and it's free. If our newsletter is not in your email inbox or hiding in your spam, call 309-807-2427 or send your email address to office@catholicspiritradio.com.
Join Catholic Spirit Radio for our Spring Carathon Support Drive. We need your support to maintain and grow this ministry. Can you help us grow and spread Orthodox Catholic teachings to Central Illinois? Please pray about supporting Catholic Spirit Radio during our Spring Fund Drive. We need your support now more than ever. For more information or to pledge your support in advance, go to CatholicSpiritRadio.com. Carathon. Coming to Catholic Spirit Radio.
Join us for Carathon on Catholic Spirit Radio, April 28th through 30th.
Hi, this is Bob Johnston. You're listening to Being Catholic right here on Catholic Spirit Radio. We're back from our break, and we're talking about the coronavirus. We've talked a lot about the local and also the worldly and national benefits that can happen from a crisis like this, the good things that we can bring out of it, and those are very, very important to talk about. We're talking about our thankfulness and gratitude for some of those things, or many of those things, or all of those things. But there are also questions that are being raised in my mind, and I know in Lynn's mind, and I'm sure there are questions being raised out there among our audience listeners. It's things about the way we're handling this crisis itself, things about the church and the way the church is approaching this, and maybe some of our failures, or at least some of the things that we can improve upon. And we're asking these questions and laying them out perhaps as some, you know, hopefully helpful criticisms that the church, I think, needs to be taking, and our country also needs to be taking in consideration, and all the individual people out there also need to be. So we will name some of these and talk about some of these and see if it can be of a benefit to address these problems. And is there anything you want to add, Lynn, before we talk about some of these?
No, just like to jump into it. My big concern is the sacraments, especially the sacrament for the dying.
Okay.
That's my big concern. People haven't been able to avail they aren't able to obtain these sacraments.
Well,
this really bothers me.
Okay, this brings up in my mind then, you know, the role of the church and our priest itself. One of the questions I have in mind is, does this church need more backbone in asserting this necessity to the world? What brought this up to me the most was this incident we watched on TV, this New Jersey nursing home, where there were evidently dead bodies that were, you know, kept there for some time. And the loved ones, in other words, the families, were not allowed into these nursing homes to attend. Evidently, their dying relatives, their dying mothers or fathers or other relatives were not allowed in. And priests, you know, were not allowed into these places to administer the last rites and to play a role. And, of course, not just priests, but other clergy from other denominations. A Catholic is not a denomination, but clergy from, you know, our Protestant side and Jewish and other sides were not allowed in. Should there be more of an emphasis on the part of the Catholic Church especially, but of course, you know, religion in general, on the need for close family members to be caregivers, priests to be caregivers, and other clergy, you know, among other religions to be caregivers? And, you know, my question is this, is if nurses and orderlies and staff members and administration can go in and out of these places, why is it not possible then for priests to be able to do this, or other clergy to be able to do this, or for close family to be able to do this on a reasonable, you know, controlled basis? And should, if this is possible, the church itself be asserting this, you know, more vigorously? Do you have want to comment on that, Lynn?
Yes, I think there was a period of time, not too distant future, past, where the clergy were considered part of the staff, the medical staff. Because there used to be, there still is in the Catholic Church, the belief that we are not just corporal beings. We have a soul, and both have to be administered to. And there's no way to do that for a busy nurse, a doctor, or whatever. They're so busy, they can't take the time. Many of the medical staff, for existence, medical staff is too busy to be too attentive to that side of life.
And, of course, many of them, you know, from a Catholic point of view, do not have the authorization or authority. You know, it was never conferred upon them. Jesus Christ formed a church, and he gave that church authority and power, and commanded it, you know, to go out into the world and make, you know, converts of all nations, and to minister, you know, to all nations and to everyone. And it is their worldly duty, and in fact, their responsibility, and their the church has the authority to speak on these issues to the world. And has the church been too compliant to the world, to worldly authorities and worldly things, and not compliant enough to its responsibilities and duties to go do these things? And that's the question I'm asking. I'm not trying to criticize negatively here. I'm trying to ask these questions from a constructive point of view. But it seems to me that it would be horrible to be an older person
and or to be a younger one.
Or even a younger one, and to be in one of these institutions and not have access to a priest or a clergyman and not have access to your close family, that this type of caregiving is far more important than a lot of the so-called scientific caregiving, where we have this emphasis on science, in cases where the science is of no avail. I mean, there are cases in which all the scientific methods and so forth in the world are not going to bring somebody back from dying or the dead. And so there has to be other care there. And that care is vital and extremely important. And our society has lapsed into this idea that somehow care for the living or care for the worldly or care for the factual is the only thing that counts, and that everything else is some kind of a fairy tale. And I think it's the church's job, in my opinion, to disabuse the world of this particular kind of thinking, because one, it's not true, and two, the other type of thinking is not efficacious. What do you think, Lynn?
That's all very true. And if you've been watching the news lately, how many doctors and nurses have you seen that agonize over this very question, that these people are being taken from their families, put into intensive care or whatever, and put on a respirator? They know they're very, very ill, and they have no support, and the medical staff really can't give it to them because they've got so many people to take care of, and they couldn't anyway because they are not clergy. But these doctors and nurses are saying that's one of the things that really does bother them, to see so many people die alone.
Yeah.
It's heartbreaking.
There has been a de-emphasis in our society on this, as if somehow or another there has been this separation, especially in Western civilization anymore, which was built, of course, by the Catholic Church and built on Christianity, but there has been this separation of body and soul. We see it even in statements of our Supreme Court. We see it in the so-called, the statements technically of our Constitution, that somehow or another the church's duty is to minister to the soul, and the state's duty is to minister to the body, as if there were a division between body and soul. And that the church's duty is to administer to the other world or heavenly world, and the state's duty is to minister to the material world. When in the Catholic faith, the material world and the heavenly world, the spiritual world, are united, and also the body and the soul are united. And the spiritual, and it also makes sense from an Aristotelian point of view and from a logical point of view, that there is such a thing as the spiritual as well as the material. Any philosophy that is a really solid philosophy takes that into consideration and must take it into consideration, or it doesn't make sense. And the fact is that the scientific world is based on this whole idea, because it was the church itself, the Catholic Church, that brought science into the world on a regular and regularized basis, and brought the kind of understanding of the world on that basis. And to somehow or another believe that this problem has been solved by science is simply not true. And again, not only is it not true, but it also is not, efficacious in any way. So maybe the church needs to start reasserting itself on that basis and being stronger on those issues.
That's true. Maybe. It's a good question. A question I have had has been why we used to have chaplains associated with most all hospitals. What has happened to these chaplains? Especially in the Catholic facility, you had a priest that lived there, and he was there to take care of the spiritual side of things, of the soul, take care of the soul. Well, he risks every day his health being with the ill, just as a nurse or a doctor does. Why can't we have the chaplains there? Why can't you just assign a chaplain to each hospital or whatever, and they could just stay there and take care of these things. You know, of course, on the other hand, the nurses leave and go home. Doctors do too. So it just, to me, it doesn't make sense.
And there needs to be, in my opinion, a lot of pushback then also on this. There have been quite a few governors, and I can name a couple. I won't put them, you know, the state of Michigan, for example, and other states. There has been, in my opinion, an animus toward religion, and especially toward the Catholic Church. I mean, people can go into grocery stores, and people can go into weed shops to buy marijuana, and they can go into liquor stores, or at least drive up to the, you know, liquor stores and maybe drive up to get the marijuana. But when they've had drive-in church services, in one instance, people were actually issued
$500
right
tickets.
Fines. They were issued tickets. They were issued fines, up to $500 for, you know, being there in a parking lot in church, and it doesn't make sense at all to me why there is an animus in this country anymore toward religion. And it seems to me that it is the Catholic Church that needs to unify and strongly oppose this and strongly reassert its authority. And also, in my opinion, again, this is my opinion, is that the church has one of the greatest tools ever given to it, and that is its dogma. And in times of crisis, it should return strictly to that traditionalist dogma. And it shouldn't be in a position of trying in these kinds of times to change it, because it is its glory and it is also its strength. And if there's any criticism, I think it's timidity in asserting this. And one of the things that I might suggest is that how much has the abuse scandal destroyed the church's credibility? So many of our bishops and so forth are really afraid to insert themselves as strongly as before because they feel they're going to get slapped down legally and maybe morally with this abuse crisis thrown in their faces. But the fact is that even so, I don't think that we and they can evade this responsibility, that we've been commanded to go out and do this, and we have been given the authority to teach along these lines, and the world has been given the command to listen. And it is the Catholic Church that has been given this authority specifically. Other Christianity has it in, to the extent that it's taken it from, you know, along with their movement away from the Catholic Church. So those are things that I think need to be addressed, and I'm not trying to put down our Protestant brothers and sisters. Thank God some of them are doing more efficacious and more taking stronger stands than our Catholic, some of our Catholic clergy are. There's no criticism here. But what I'm saying is, let's go back to the beginning, and this is the charge that the church was given, and it needs to be carried out. Now I'm sort of, you know, sort of pontificating here, I guess, but I think this really needs to be addressed. What do you think, Lynn?
Definitely, definitely. We got to look, you know, we're all Christians and we all believe in Christ. And if you believe in what he told us to do and be how to behave, this is wrong. I know it's a really hard decision to make. For we don't want to spread the virus, understandable, in congregating in big groups and so forth. I can understand all that. And you don't want people coming in and leaving it and taking the virus out with them. But on the other hand, is it right to have people in the hospitals and ICU or in the nursing home or anything like, you know, in any facility like that? Family can't come in. The facility, the people, the workers can come and go, but the family can't oversee things. And this incident in New Jersey, they had 17 bodies in a morgue for four. All these bodies crammed in there. Did the families even know they had passed? Don't know. But the administrator was sick with the virus, and half the staff. And what the administrator is the one that called state representatives and said, we need help. It shouldn't come to this.
So at any rate, I think that we need to address these problems. Our church needs to address these problems more strongly. We have to understand that this crisis is not unique. There is a crisis always with us, always around the corner. People are dying every day individually. A airplane crash or a crisis like this brings it on far more clearly to us, but nevertheless, it's there. It always has to be addressed. Science cannot address it. And speaking of science, let's take a look at the fact that if this disease was caused from that scientific laboratory in Wuhan, science itself can often contribute to huge problems that science itself is not able to solve.
And science isn't our God.
The scientific method is a wonderful thing, but it is just a method. It is not a end-all or be-all or somehow some kind of a savior. So let's put things in place, and we could go on, you know, more about this, but it's time, you know, for the end of the program. We have to stop. I hope this gives everyone some things to think about. Again, we do appreciate all of the good things our clergy are doing out there, but we're also calling for people to question and to address these questions. So with that, let's have our prayer, and we'll go ahead after and see you next week. So,
St. Michael,
the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all evil spirits who wander through the world for the ruin of souls.
Amen. He is risen.
Hallelujah.
You've been listening to Being Catholic with Bob Johnston on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5. If you'd like to contact Bob, email bob@catholicspiritradio.com. Again, that's bob@catholicspiritradio.com. Catholic Spirit Radio relies on your support to bring programming like this and EWTN to Central Illinois 24 hours a day. Please help keep Catholic Spirit Radio on the air with your generous support. Donate online at catholicspiritradio.com. Or send a donation to Catholic Spirit Radio, 108 Boykins Place, Normal, Illinois, 61761. That's Catholic Spirit Radio, 108 Boykins Place, Normal, Illinois, 61761. Catholic Spirit Radio is a 501c3, and all donations are tax deductible. Thank you for your support of Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5.